former employees and a volunteer for a popular religious release time program in Ohio are charged with sex crimes against children. The men were not reported to have assaulted children during the program called LifeWise Academy, but critics say their connection to LifeWise raises questions about oversight. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss this are WOSU reporter George Shilcock and Secular Education Association co-founders Molly Gaines and Zach Parrish. Welcome back to the program, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
George, we're going to discuss the charges against these former LifeWise Academy teachers and the volunteer, but first explain, what is LifeWise?
So LifeWise Academy is what's known as a religious release program. It's an organization that's not associated with our public school districts, but they are allowed under Ohio law to accept kids who want to leave school and then learn about what LifeWise teaches, which focuses on like a sort of Christian education curriculum. And they bring students out of school during certain bells and then bring them back after that programming is done.
And schools are required to offer this, but students are not required to attend, are they?
Yes, that's true. The state government actually required public schools to allow LifeWise to accept students from their districts. After some towns in the state, such as Westerville up here in Columbus, had been choosing not to allow LifeWise to operate.
So, George, who are these men who were charged, and what were they charged with?
The three men are named William Van Sickle, Christopher Riggs, and Kenneth Holy Cross III. They're from different parts of Ohio, Miami County, Muskingum County, Perry County, and at one point they all worked for LifeWise Academy as either volunteers or teachers. But none of these three men were reported to have assaulted children during LifeWise's programming. So two of the men have already pled guilty to these charges, meaning these aren't mere allegations. One of them, I believe, is still going through the courts. And that's sort of a high-level summary of what we have going on here.
And these charges were very serious with these men, weren't they?
Yeah, they the other guest you have here today, the Secular Education Association, they really did the digging and found out all of this. So Van Sickle from Perry County, he was arrested and pled guilty back in April to one count of rape and two counts of sexual battery against a minor. Riggs from Muskingum County was arrested more recently and also pleaded guilty to voyeurism and gross sexual imposition for having forced sexual contact with a 14-year-old. And then I don't have the other case in front of me, but it was also, these are men being accused of sexually abusing children.
Molly and Zach, George just mentioned your organization was the one that made the connection between these men and LifeWise. Explain how.
Yeah, so it's really not that difficult, to be honest with you. We are comprised of parents, teachers, community members from all over the country, and specifically a lot in Ohio, because this is where we began as well. But, you know, these people are watching and they're looking and they're providing us with these tips and saying, you know, this is a person who is being pictured on the LifeWise Facebook group, or this is someone who we see as being involved in this. And this is what, it, you know, and they will immediately send us if there's something with the court or if there's something reported. So it's really, it's a group effort, and it's parent advocates and, you know, our allies that are sort of providing the safety net. And that really shouldn't be the case, because the state has really put us all in a situation where the school district's hands are tied, and then they're not providing a full comprehensive way to keep everyone safe, to keep the kids safe the way that our school districts do for these religious release time programs.
We're talking about two former employees and a volunteer for LifeWise Academy who were charged with sex crimes against children. Do you have questions or comments? Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did invite LifeWise to be part of this conversation. The organization declined our invitation but sent us a statement. The statement says in part, Importantly, LifeWise has received zero reports of misconduct involving LifeWise students in connection with these matters or during LifeWise activities more broadly. Individuals involved in misconduct served in either volunteer or staff roles with local LifeWise chapters for a short time and are no longer affiliated with the organization. In each case, the individual completed and passed the required background screening process when they began serving, which revealed no disqualifying offenses or prior criminal history. The statement also says, LifeWise maintains strict child safety policies designed to provide multiple layers of accountability. All staff and volunteers undergo background screenings through ADP screening and selection services prior to serving. In addition, students are never left one-on-one with a single adult serving LifeWise programming, and multiple adults are present in classrooms and student settings at all time. At all times, LifeWise also requires mandated reporter training and other child safety procedures. The statement concludes, unfortunately, individuals accused of crimes against minors have appeared in many types of youth-serving organizations and institutions across society. That reality is precisely why LifeWise maintains rigorous screening, supervision, and accountability measures and continually evaluates ways to strengthen safeguards designed to protect children. Cincinnati Edition also reached out to the people who sponsored legislation that requires public schools to offer religious release time programs. One of them declined our invitation to be on the program, and the other didn't respond. Zach, I wonder what you think about that statement. I mean, does LifeWise have a point at all that people accused of crimes against minors have been in many organizations and institutions that work with children?
I mean, that's absolutely the reality. I don't think it's a good defense or a good response to the situations that they're dealing with. But yes, absolutely. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? We know that predators seek out prey. They look for these situations where they can have authority over these children, where they can, you know, pick out who they want to target and groom, unfortunately. And yes, that is any organization that works with children, whether it be the schools themselves, the Boy Scouts, what have you. You know, we could go on for days of all the instances of this happening, unfortunately. But that is the point. That is why your standards need to be as high as they can be instead of a bare minimum. I think another thing in their statement that really stuck out to me, they mentioned that they're using ADP screening services for their background checks. This is at least the third company that we're aware of that they have cycled through in just the past 2 or 3 years. It was Protect My Ministries, and then it was Pro Screening, and now they're using ADP screening. So that fact alone, that they're kind of cycling through these background check companies, it shows you that, you know, maybe they're not as tight as they should be. Maybe some of them have been missing something. There has to be a reason they're changing companies.
Sure, and really quick, I don't mean to interrupt, but I think it's imperative that we say this part. These other organizations, you know, this excuse that these predators, these situations happen in other areas in our society and other organizations, absolutely, sure, great. These other organizations aren't being inserted forcibly, in our opinion, into the school day and given access to public school children with the sort of facade that it's school sponsored and school approved when it's absolutely not. So that's where there's a big difference as well. You know, Boy Scouts isn't coming in the middle of the day of school day and taking kids out and putting that liability onto the school. LifeWise is. Mm. So let's make sure we get that part clear. Yeah. You know, like, so that's really an excuse, if you ask me. But like Zach said about ADP and Pro Screening and all the different ones, I mean, these are consumer report level background checks. This is what your Lowe's, you know, your Home Depot down the street runs. This is exact same level of that. And we require our school districts to have these, you know, requirements and all of these checks and all of these things that sort of, you know, district policies and personnel records and licensure rules and all of these things, fingerprinting requirements. And none of that is being done for these release time religious programs, specifically LifeWise, that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why would we let a party into the school day and then not hold them to the same standard as the school day?
We have a caller on the line. Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
My question or comment was, I have kind of followed the Secular Education Association, and I've heard that LifeWise has lost like 2 kids, and I wanted to hear more about that. this child that, like, I guess she walked back like a mile back to her school and like several strangers tried to pick her up. You know, I haven't really heard much about that, but that's just a really big concerning thing that I've heard about LifeWise, is that these things are happening and what is being done.
Thank you, Kate. I need to point out, we haven't, Cincinnati Edition hasn't independently verified any information about whether kids have been left behind, have had to walk home. Molly or Zach, have you all heard anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to give you that verification after we wrap up here and show you the emails and the documents we have, just showing that this has happened. And yeah, you know, that is part of their statement as well. So it does kind of go hand in hand. They say that these kids are never left alone. There's always two adults watching them. But yes, there have been multiple situations that we've documented of children being unattended, to the point that, yes, like the caller said, the one girl had to walk back to school by herself from the church that LifeWise, you know, had their class at. So we have those kind of things happening. It is not a stretch of the imagination to think that these two things could, you know, combine. It would not be that hard for one of these volunteers to take a kid off by themselves when they are literally leaving kids and missing them in their counts. So
thank you for that call, Kate. We really appreciate it. George, have you done any reporting on those issues?
I have not personally looked into those cases. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
The biggest one was in Indiana, so I'm not surprised, you know, you guys didn't hit it in Cincinnati down there. But yeah, it was over in Decatur was the biggest instance that we have. But we have emails from Defiance up in Ohio where, you know, LifeWise is talking about how the kids were on the bus alone hitting each other and that type of thing. So, you know, it does happen, and it's going to happen. Any scenario where you have a group of kids, right? Kids are hard to control. And again, this is kind of the point. Anybody who's worked with children in these large group settings knows all of the stuff that goes into this.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We'll continue this conversation after a short break. And later in the program, what an Ohio Supreme Court ruling could mean for survivors of domestic violence and their safety. This is Cincinnati Edition. We've got exciting news to share. Cincinnati Edition is hosting a special show on data centers on July 15th at noon, and you can be part of the audience. The RSVP goes live at 1 p.m. today. Go to WVXU.org to register. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about two former employees and a volunteer for LifeWise Academy who were charged with sex crimes against children. And two of those men have already pled guilty. They were not reported to have assaulted children during the program. My guests for this discussion are WOSU reporter George Shilcock and Secular Education Association co-founders Zach Parrish and Molly Gaines. You can join the conversation, call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. George, how many school districts across Ohio now have LifeWise as a religious release time program? Do you know what the latest numbers are on that?
The latest numbers, looking through my reporting and my story, they've like significantly increased since that law went into effect that essentially like made school districts like have to accept LifeWise if they want to participate. I don't have the exact number on the schools, but it's been growing pretty rapidly in Ohio. And I believe they're serving like several thousand students as well.
Yeah. Molly or Zach, do you all have a count of the number of schools that have LifeWise now?
You want a full count of who all is in Ohio or all over the nation?
My apologies. In Ohio, how many Ohio schools have LifeWise?
So according to our information, and we absolutely do have a map, if you go to map.seculareducationassociation.org, you can look at the entire country and find out the status of LifeWise and where they're at. But in Ohio, we have, looks like 586 schools with LifeWise.
Wow.
Is our total.
Wow.
We have counted. And there's only 1,004 total districts in the state.
So a big chunk. Big chunk of those districts.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty big.
That 586 is the number of individual schools. So some districts have more than one school, of course.
Sure.
So there is that distinction there.
Yeah. George, what, if any, state oversight is there for LifeWise and programs like it?
Yeah, so after interviewing Molly and Zach for my story, this is a question I set out to get answered after after the news came out that these three men were connected to LifeWise. I reached out to Governor Mike DeWine's office to get a response, and what his spokesperson told me was that, hey, like, any sexual abuse is an evil that should be eradicated. They said, but they went back to kind of what LifeWise is arguing, that, hey, unfortunately, this is not unique to any profession or organization, which is why many prosecutors and communities work hard to vigorously prosecute such cases wherever it's found. They didn't go further into, you know, like, should LifeWise be required to have the same processes that a public school does, and should that be made public? I also reached out to Ohio Speaker of the House Matt Huffman. His office declined to comment, and I didn't hear back from Senate President Rob McCauley either.
Huh. Molly and Zach, do you think that needs to change? I mean, do you think there should be some kind of state oversight or stronger state oversight over LifeWise and programs like it?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, the state mandated us to all deal with this, our school districts to deal with this. That's what they did. They changed our law from May. So they took our local control away and they changed it to shall. And so now we shall deal with this crap. And then they added on a part about how you may require background checks. So they kept the may language for keeping the kids safe, but not for bringing the program in. So that's sort of the situation that we're in. So a district may include a background check requirement for the private programs, instructors, and volunteers, but that's a completely different legal standard than shall have this program, shall work with this program. And so the districts, that's what we're left with, is like a patchwork. So we have some districts that are doing everything they can to protect their students, and some districts that are doing nothing at all and relying on LifeWise's vibes and vendor assurance that, you know, that they've done their due diligence. And, you know, so you're having districts that may check, may require, or, you know, may require this check. They may decide how they're conducted. So there's all of these mays and about the safety part. And then the other thing is there's nothing about the cost. So there's nothing in about the cost of these background checks. And in fact, Cleveland specifically wrote that into their RTRI policy for their school district, was that, you know, the sponsoring entity will pay for the background checks, but that's not part of our state law either. So again, our legislatures, and they knew exactly what they were doing. You can go and look at all the opposition that came and spoke and tried to get them to understand what it is that they were doing, but they knew, and they made us deal with this, but then they gave us no way to make sure our children are protected.
Zach, Molly was talking. Please go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say, I think the oversight needs to go beyond just the safety and the background checks as well. That's a very key point with this whole debate around this topic and these programs. There is no oversight whatsoever except internally. There is no governing body that holds these programs accountable when they do cross the line, if there is a constitutional question. So there is just no oversight at all because they are a ministry, right? They want to do a ministerial exemption, and they don't think that they have to follow these things. They don't have to follow, you know, equal hiring rights and things like that. They don't necessarily have to follow these schools dictating these background checks. If they wanted to fight this in court and say, we're a ministry, we don't have to abide by this, they could go to court and make that fight. So it's really a tricky thing that we're trying to figure out here is how can there be oversight because it's a church?
Hmm. Zach, Molly was talking earlier in the program about, you know, we were talking about how it was your volunteers, your association's people on the ground who made this connection between these three men and LifeWise. Did that surprise you at all that your group of parent volunteers had to be the ones to make this connection? I mean, what if your group hadn't been there to look out for this?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't surprise me at all because it's not the first time it's happened. Molly, you want to tell them about Renee? I mean, this is something we've done before.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's why their statement, you know, not coming on and not having a public discussion about things is really infuriating and shameful, because their statement that they take student safety seriously is ridiculous. In 2024, they hired Renee Beck as a local director in Firelands in Ohio, and reporting, like, basically what happened is they hired her for the director position. Everything was great. They announced it on their LifeWise public social medias, put her picture up and everything. And it was myself personally, who just went and looked and found out that she was a teacher and in Firelands District, and that she had been, or I'm sorry, in Loudonville, Perrysville is where she was a teacher, and she had been fired after allegations involving sexually explicit messages with students, so sexting students. Her Ohio teaching license had been revoked permanently. Okay, and that was public information I found through a Google search of just this woman's name, but they didn't do that due diligence before they hired her to be a director. So I don't want to hear that they're taking student safety seriously. They never have. They still aren't. Mm.
And George, it sounds like that's something WOSU has reported on also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm part of a great team here at WOSU that's really trying to keep an eye on LifeWise and as much as we can. But yeah, we're trying to follow that case as well.
Yeah. Zach, do you think there's any value to the lessons that LifeWise is teaching students who do participate in the program?
I'm sure there is for those who believe in, you know, that version of Christianity. I'm sure there is some value there. I'm sure most of the local people working for the program are doing what they believe is right. What I don't like is the idea that the only place this character can come from, what's going to fix all of our children, is instilling this biblical worldview. That's where I disagree. It might work for some people. There are plenty of other people it does not work for, and in fact can traumatize when they get older.
Mm. And Molly, quickly, in like 20 seconds, is there anything else you'd want parents to know when they're deciding whether to send their kids to LifeWise Academy?
Yeah, I mean, I just want you to sort of look at the deception from the get-go of all of this. You know, their curriculum was never public. We made it so. We let people know about these scary safety issues. We let people know about the kids being left behind, that their curriculum is the Southern Baptist Convention Gospel Project. So all of these deceptions, they add up. How are we supposed to trust them with our kids when they're not being upfront about what they are, what they teach, who they, you know, who they're connected with, and what their motivations are?
Well, I've been talking with WOSU reporter George Shilcock and Secular Education Association co-founders Molly Gaines and Zach Parrish. Thank you all so much for your time today. Up next, what an Ohio Supreme Court ruling could mean for survivors of domestic violence and their safety. This is Cincinnati Edition.